Happy Star Wars, everyone. I like Rose Tico. Those are four controversial words in the Star Wars community, in the Star Wars fandom these days. I don't like that. Drinking my tea, and I'll tell you why I don't like that. I think that a lot of the Rose Tico hate comes from the unfortunate lack of empathy and lack of understanding, because the character of Rose is an archetype that few men can relate to. And I'm not trying to tell you you're wrong for not being able to understand Rose Tico, and I'm not trying to purport that I know all, but I want to offer a viewpoint that may help you understand Rose Tico as I have come to understand Rose Tico, and why she has gone from a bit of a minor player, bit player in Last Jedi to, for me, and I think who maybe a little later in the process became kind of a symbol of the whole damn thing. The saga, I mean. So I like Rose, and the reason I like Rose is that she has a really, really shitty existence, and she still has hope. I know, that is a very basic understanding of Rose, but I think it's the right understanding of Rose. I think that Rose is meant to be a character who is beaten down and kicked in the face and lands in the mud, and she gets up and she dusts herself off and she's ready to fight another day. She's like kind of like Star Wars' Captain America, right? And that's a role she is fulfilling. And that is the surface level. Everybody gets that, right? I like that about Rose. I like that she is the hero's hero. She is unwavering once she gains her confidence and understands that her purpose, after she sees her heroes, you know, her hero Finn, literally, she's a fanboy, you get it. After she literally sees her hero try to duck out in an escape pod like all the other cowards, she doesn't lose hope. Instead, she finds it in herself to teach him the lesson that he needs to learn, not, you know, fall back on her own, you know, sadness or her own, depths of depression over the fact that, her sister, that she's incredibly close with, is dead. You pair that with the sort of like, the wrong sister died narrative, right? Where you get this mechanic, yeah, she's fine, but this fucking ace bomber pilot, right? I don't know if that's in the books. I honestly did not read the young adult YA, Cobalt Squadron book. I know it's Cobalt Squadron, but I gotta go on and listen to one of those Star Wars Explained YouTube videos about Cobalt Squadron. I bet he's done one. I'm gonna go check it out. That's a good YouTube channel. But, you know, Rose is a sad figure. I think, you know, we're having a hard time. I think mostly men are having a hard time relating to Rose. And again, I don't want to blanket the hashtag all men thing, right? I'm not trying to chastise. I don't want to chastise. We're happy Star Wars, right? Every Star Wars fan has a right to be heard. They just might not understand what they're asking for or why they feel the way they feel. So I think I want to help you find Rose like I found Rose. And it lies in a world far beyond the masculine, far out from our basements and our manics. Far away from the computer screen. Out in the country or upstate, where there are fields and barns and hay, I'm assuming. I've been to the country like twice. I went to North Dakota when I was like in late middle school, early high school. That was cool. That's for another time. But Rose fulfills a character archetype that men do not have an equal in many respects. A lot of men do not have the empathy to sort of appreciate Rose because they've never known someone like Rose. They don't have the girl in question, the woman who Rose represents in their life. And that woman is, and I say this with all negativity removed, as we will soon discuss, Rose is a horse girl. If you are currently perplexed as to what I am discussing or mentioning, you are the target. If you know what I'm talking about and you have a negative connotation of the girl known as the horse girl, then you should also continue to listen because I want to spin it around. I don't think it's a, I think it's a very, I think it's sad that men have co-opted this persona and made it a negative stereotype of women when in fact, it belongs to caring, happy people who love horses. Okay, so let me back up. What is the horse girl? A horse girl is a girl who loves horses. And by I mean loves horses, I mean she fucking loves horses. Like, guys like gorillas and you know, like, guys have weird things, obsessions in nature that we've just probably had, I don't know, built into our weird, you know, DNA history and genetic memory. Dudes like setting things on fire. All guys like explosions. They are truths to all men in some fashion. And at every woman's core is a little bit of horse girl. They love horses. And not just animals. Animals is a thing, but horses very specifically. And what's interesting about this is, and I think why men have found it to be a negative aspect of these specific women who love horses, is that in their lives, men do not come first. Their partner is a secondary person because they love that horse. They love animals. They're compassionate. They're caring. They love to care for the horse. They love to ride the horse. They love to name the horse and do all the things with the horse. There's a whole culture of horse girls. You remember that goofy video from the Swedes lands in the north, not Netherlands, but north of the, up and to the left on the map. Norway? Is that where the weird horse thing was? There are girls who ride around on the horse heads with the sticks, and they have like a whole parade and Olympics and like horse thing. Just search it, Google. Hey, Siri, find me the thing about the girls in the European country where they ride around on horses. And it's fake. And I'm not trying to chastise and I'm not trying to make fun. Everything is fucking weird in this world. Like, nothing makes sense. But I'd love to give an example to guys to figure out and give them some insight into why Rose is so fundamentally crucial to a lot of women and a lot of girls who fit this personality of, you know, do it all for the love of the creature, do it all for the love of nature and setting things free and setting things right and keeping the balance and this core compassion that goes beyond all things for animals, beyond humans, having a connection to the earth that you are from. And I think that these girls, these women who feel that these have these traits or exhibit these traits are close and connected to nature in a way that a lot of us just will never be. And Rose, for all intents and purposes, is a Star Wars horse girl. She has everything to do with a connection to the universe and the galaxy and life and the Force. Do I even want to go this far? No. But Rose is pure because she loves past thinking beings that can, you know, fight for themselves. Rose is good because Rose is willing to put it all on the line for a creature that may or may not understand that they've been saved. And that matters. It doesn't matter to a lot of dudes, which is why they see Rose as a weird foreign object in Star Wars. She's a character archetype that we've never seen in Star Wars. We've never had in Star Wars. We've never needed in Star Wars, right? We never needed more. And when they're talking about more women in Star Wars, we are not talking about more numbers. We are not talking about equality in numbers. We're not talking about the cast is 50-50. We are talking about we need more representation of women in Star Wars, which means different types of women. We need to see the horse girl. We need to see the Jyn Erso, who is a character who has an arc, maybe. I like Jyn. I think that she's, you know, she starts off very, like, scrappy and hopeful, but at the same time, then dumped in a thing, and, you know, she's a kid, and she's dumped in a thing, and she's scrappy, and she's growing up with Saw, and Saw dumps her, and she just finally realizes, look, just, you're off on your own, and do whatever, and after the death of her father, spoiler alert, I think she realizes that you can't run forever. And rather than run, she decides to use her unique position and her unique knowledge and skill set to save the fucking universe. That's pretty cool. And that feels good. That's a woman unsure of herself, not willing to stand up to authority, who then grows up to say, fuck authority, I'm going to do what I have to do to get things done, and y'all can come with me or not. And I think that's great. And seeing Jyn become a leader like that for a lot of girls is a cool thing. Now, more women in Star Wars means more representations of women in Star Wars. And we're going to see that coming forward. Going forward, we're going to see lots of cool stuff like that. I hope. I love Star Wars. I think one of the biggest issues with the Han Solo movie is that it's very reminiscent of the early 90s, late 80s boys club Star Wars, right? Like, the adventures of Han Solo and Chewbacca. Look at them gallivant around the galaxy with minimal female characters and yada, yada, yada. But, like, again, that was the thing at the time. That was what we did at the time, and that you can't, you don't take that away from anybody. That's still fun, and that's still a worthy story to tell. But that story has been told. So now let's tell some new stories with some new characters. Let's see the brash hero who fails and realizes that maybe, just maybe, the crazy plan isn't the crazy plan all the time. Oh, I'm talking about Poe and Holdo. Poe. And you gotta stretch this. I get it. Guys are gonna go, no. It doesn't feel right. Why not just tell them the thing? Why not do this? Blah, blah, blah. Because we have never, it's outside of our comfort zone. It's outside of my comfort zone. I'm telling you this because I'm working through it myself, right? Like, how do these characters relate? So, Rose Tico is an expansion of women and female representation in Star Wars, which is, we now have Star Wars as Horse Girl, a girl who cares more about the fate of the universe, the fate of the galaxy, and horses and the world around her, and nature and expensive crops and things. I don't know how this works. I read a couple articles and it was just all negativity about, you know, 10 things Horse Girl's red flags, blah, blah, blah. They like an expensive animal. They are needy. The horse comes first. Yeah, they fucking like horses. You like games. Like, come on, chill out. Everyone has a thing. And a lot of people like their thing a lot more than other things. So Rose likes her thing, which is being a compassionate person who doesn't want to see suffering in the world more than boys or whatever, you know, yada yada. It helps it at the end. She gets to be compassionate and save the boy. Again, it's nice to see. It's not what we're used to, but it's nice to see because it's different. We got the one already. So the thing, I guess I, you know, I'm not going to go too long on this one. Not because I don't think I can. Not because I don't think I should, but it's more about, like, I'm going to actually, you know, release these episodes so they're actually listenable, not like 100,000 bajillion minutes of Han Solo movie. But I will keep them a little bit shorter, but I won't devoid the content. I won't cut the content, right? You'll still get what I care about. You've been listening to this podcast for so long. You're such a loyal fan and listener. You've been here for two episodes. So the hard truth is that I don't think that Star Wars particularly is a toxic fan base. I think that all fan bases are toxic. I think humanity is toxic. I think chat is toxic. I think the internet is toxic. I think we live in an extremely negative world. And it's difficult to see beyond the muck and the mud that's sort of crowded and clouded our eyes and crowded us in and makes us feel very claustrophobic. And if you don't lash out or hate the thing or prove to someone that we're, like, you know, we're you know, we're against the cool thing, or we're doing the thing that maybe, just maybe, we can not hate the situation we've created for ourselves, right? But the hard truth to remedying toxic fan bases is empathy and compassion with a healthy dose of calling out bullshit. And I think that we've entered the bullshit, the calling out bullshit phase with Lucasfilm, with the Chuck Wendig stuff, and the podcasty things and the Twitter beefs. But that's not stuff that I'm super into. I like positive things. However, it is super interesting because I'm also a goddamn gossip drama queen. I want that in my life. I think that, honestly, Star Wars feels like a toxic fan base because it's vocal, right? It's very vocal. There's a sense of ownership. There's a sense of nostalgia and childhood and a lot wrapped up in Star Wars. Star Wars is, for better or for worse, a modern religion that George Lucas started and then sold because he didn't like getting yelled at by the disciples anymore. I get it. I think honestly, many people just don't know how to express their criticism, right? Like people who are critical of Rose Tico and critical of new Star Wars and Disney's acquisition and stuff have valid complaints, right? You have to listen. They might not be saying it correctly and they might not be correct in their feedback, but there's something there, right? And I want to know what's there. I want to know what's deep down inside that people feel like it's okay to hate on the thing that they supposedly love. And here's the best. So if you can express your criticism, that's wonderful. And I think you should. And express your criticism. Just don't be mean about it. Like, and everyone thinks like, oh, no, constructive criticism or being nice about it. The criticism won't be seen. That's untrue. I'm telling you that as a creative. I'm telling you that as someone who has gone back and forth multiple times, constantly in his career with people. You are direct with feedback. This is a long, arduous procedure of creation that does not just pop into someone's head and fall out on the page. Like, you know, that might happen with George R. R. Martin, right? But how often does that happen? Oh, buzzing. I don't read those books, so that's kind of a cheap shot. And I'm just kind of like going with the zeitgeist of George R. R. Martin doesn't write books anymore jokes. And I just, never mind, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm looking forward to the next season of Game of Thrones. So ultimately, if you've reached this sort of moment in your appreciation and love of Star Wars where you're like, you can't get away from the criticism of, I wish it should have been done this way, it should have been done that, I would have done it. If you find yourself at a place where that is obstructing your love of the game, right? Love of the sport of Star Wars, then you have to do better. You have to create something that you want to see. Because Star Wars is an art, a piece of art, a piece of product, right? It is a marketed piece of art. You take it as it is. You can critique it, and you can say, I like this piece, or I don't like this piece, whatever, blah, 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 but I love the painter. Right? I love it all. But what you can't do is take it out of the art gallery, bring it home, and make it yours. And then you can't paint all over it and then bring it back to the museum. This is a strained analogy. So what you should do is you should create, because guess what? You're smart enough to create. You can do it. You can write. If you think you can do better, why don't you write a fan script? Why don't you write your own Star Wars novel? Why don't you write like a spec script for like a Netflix show about like a Star Destroyer crew that I'm trying to do? Why don't you explore? Like, you love Star Wars. You don't have to, again, that's just something I'm gonna explain and talk about a little bit in my own viewpoint in the next episode about why Star Wars shouldn't Marvelize. But Star Wars is a place that you can inhabit and live. And I think that you, the person who has that feedback of, I think it should be this way, I bet you have a pretty kick-ass Warhammer 40K campaign resting in the back of your head, or a Rogue Trader campaign, or a D&D campaign that story would be, or a graphic novel, or a short story, or a poem, or anything. Write it down. Do it your way. The way out of a toxic fan base and the way into appreciation of the art is to realize that you too can create it. You can do better. If you think you can do better, do better. Write a fan script. Create your own thing. Because you know who you could be who created their own thing? George motherfucking Lucas. He made his own thing. You don't have to take his thing. Make your own thing. You are smart enough to do it. Because if that moron can, anyone can. And I'm not saying he's a moron. You know what I mean? We're all idiots. We all don't know what we're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing. Just write and create. And if you think you can do better than Star Wars, you might be able to do better than Star Wars. And if you're not doing better for Star Wars for the world around you, then you're doing at least better for you. Isn't that who matters? Come on. Now, I have one more point to make, and then I'll end this episode. And it is a hateful point. And I will tell you, look, happy Star Wars is happy Star Wars for a reason. There's no hate here. But there is a problem with Rose Tico. In The Last Jedi, Lego Star Wars Wave 01, a Rose Tico minifigure came in an astonishingly cute little set called the Resistance Pod. It's the thing that they use to fly to Canto Bight, the casino planet. And it came with Finn, and it came with Rose, and it came with BB-8. It was a cute little set, and it was great. And I got my Rose, and I got my Finn. I like to collect the minifigures from all the Lego. I like Star Wars Lego. And then after the movie comes out, the next wave of sets come out, you know, that are a little bit more spoilery, right? Because I want to hold some of them back so you don't know that, you know, blank is going to do a thing. And the set was called the First Order AT-ST. And the First Order AT-ST is some bullshit. And let me tell you why. It is the worst Lego Star Wars set ever. Because it is not a First Order AT-ST. It is half a First Order AT-ST. Remember the scene where BB-8 goes beep boop 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 and then literally Deus Ex Machina's them out of a thing where Captain Phasma's gonna zappity-doo, and then BB-8 comes in the legs and he's controlling the half of the AT-ST because the head gets ripped off when it's getting out of the docking bay. And you can see that it has a full head there, like a whole new design for the First Order AT-ST. That's pretty cool. Ooh, I'm gonna get that in the box. That's not what you get in the box. What you get in the box is Finn in his First Order disguise, Rose in her First Order disguise, a nice new Captain Phasma minifigure with a little staff and a gun. I love it. It's cute, and I like it. And I wanted it. I really wanted these minifigures, right, for the whole collection. And then you get BB-8. In half an AT-ST. It's the legs and the base and BB-8 sitting there with the gun. That's not a First Order AT-ST. That's half a First Order AT-ST. That is some bullshit. And here's the worst problem. It could have all been solved with a name change. Don't call the set the First Order AT-ST. Call the set BB-8's First Order AT-ST Escape. Expectations set. Come on. Do better, Star Wars Lego. Because that AT-ST was a cool design, too. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Email questions at happystarwars.com. And I will answer them on the show. Do you have questions? Do you have topics I want to cover? You want me to cover? Do you have comments and feedback for the show? Please drop it in the email at questions@happystarwars.com. I'll see you guys next week.